I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, the business technology show where we talk to business leaders in the ICT industry. Today's show is brought to you by Vodacom Business. My guest today is Videsha Pruthviraj of Vodacom Business, the enterprise arm of Vodacom South Africa, which recently appointed an extraordinary business advisory board, a strategic initiative designed to strengthen enterprise expertise and support organizations on their digital transformation journeys. This is all part of Vodacom's shift from being a traditional telecoms provider to becoming a tech co or technology company. Videsha, welcome to the studio. Thanks for making the time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. I've heard Vodacom talk quite a lot about this move from becoming a telco or from a telco to becoming a tech co. What does that actually mean?
I think it's been part of the Vodacom evolution in terms of, you know, we're no longer just a connectivity provider. We used to be identified. If anybody said, what does Vodacom do? We were about the connectivity. And then I think we moved into a space of providing solutions. So whether it was IoT solutions, whether it was cyber solutions, there was kind of in the middle of the journey. And I do think now we're in a space where we're really all about, I talk about it in three pillars. It's about digital inclusivity, it's about sustainability, and it's about trust. Mm-hmm. And that's what that journey is really about. A tech co is somebody that customers trust. They call you in, you're a, you know, that old word, trusted advisor, but you really are helping them transform their businesses at the end of the day. So I think that that's the big thing. That's been the evolution for Vodacom as we've moved from just being a connectivity provider to how do we build value? How do we build trust with our customers and create more longer term solutions and also touch a wider part of the market? Because consumers was the initial audience for us. Now we touch not just consumers. We look at the SME base. We look at government, large or private business, as we call it, and SMEs. So we're trying to add value across a continuum of customers versus just servicing one division as we used to do in the past.
Does it typically start with a connectivity conversation and then evolve from there? Or do you also go into clients who you don't have as a connectivity customer?
No, we don't. It's interesting. We do use our base because it is a huge competitive advantage for us. So we've got a massive mobile base of customers. We call it internally a one more service, sort of initiative from there. But no, we've got customers where we just provide solutions around scalability or cloud, et cetera, and they're not mobile customers ours.
Okay.
We try to extend because the portfolio definitely makes more sense from a cost perspective for us and for customers. But no, we really look at what is the customer need and then how do we serve for that.
Okay. So do you see yourself as sort of emerging in that sort of IT services, almost consulting services kind of space?
I think, you know, one of the compelling things about Vodacom Business is we do provide, currently we have a, what I would call a value engineering team that goes in and looks at businesses. You know, I always say a transformation is never just about the tech. It's about the people, the processes, and the technology. So we've got a team that goes in and provides the service where we will look at a business end to end and help them co-create a digital transformation path. So I get a lot of customers that say to me, gosh, I would have paid a consulting house millions to do this for us.
Right.
But we see it as part of the service because you can't, I'm dead against dropping technology for the sake of technology because it gives technology a bad name. So it's part of our process in terms of understanding the customer better, helping them understand not just their challenges, but also their opportunities. And then how do we solve for that and creating a roadmap for them as well?
Is there a particular size of enterprise that you target? Are there particular industries that you focus on or is it across the board?
No, it's really across the board. I think some of the best known secrets are kept at Vodacom Business. You know, we've done really well at amassing a host of subsidiaries that sit in the Vodacom business sort of arena. So we've got the likes of Xlink that's in the payment space. We've got IoT.next, that obviously IoT. We've got Nexio Managed Services. We've got, and many others, Afridges and many other companies, Mezzanine, which is a platform company. So we take that and then we partner really well as well, because I'm also a fan of, you can't do it alone. Mm-hmm. You know, in this day and age, nobody has everything it takes to service a customer. So we do really well at strategic partnering, and then we add and we add, and I call it the voter sphere. You know, at the end of the day, there's this amazing offering that Vodacom can bring, either by ourselves, so all the things we have internally, or we pull in our suppliers and partners and subsidiaries, etc. So we end up being able to serve any type of customers. This year, we've started a huge focus. We've always had a focus, but this year we've been very intentional on the SME space because we see it as underserved. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that we've created a microcosm within our macrocosm. So everything that exists at Vodacom Business, we've created a microcosm of that for SME to be better able to service them. But no, whether you're SME, whether you're a NGO, whether you're a large private customer, you know, we have what it takes to be able to service.
Okay. And the fact that you're owned by a multinational Vodafone group, how does that play into the services you're able to offer your clients here in South Africa?
Yeah. And I always think it's, you think global, but you act local, right? Mm-hmm. You have to be able to speak to the needs of our local customers. So things that have been really, I'd say, amazing for us as a company is to be able to get access to a lot of the IP and the technology, which sometimes lessens our CapEx requirements because it's built somewhere else and we can tweak and bring it in-house. I think some of our successes, though, have been where we have built things locally that we have managed to take to Vodafone, which is a great testament to the local IP and the capabilities that we have.
You've done quite a bit of that with IoT.next.
We have. With IoT.next, but also with on the cloud side of things, I think from a maturity perspective, Vodacom South Africa and Vodacom Business is very mature on the cloud journey. Mm. So we've been able to add a lot of value to the Vodafone cloud journey as well. So we've managed to do that. One of the other competitive advantages we have is just today, I have people from Voice, which is a division within Vodafone that really looks at scaling solutions into different industries. So we've brought them down and they're in country for 2 weeks to help our customers on their modernization journey for cloud specifically. So we get access to these, you know, global experts, and then we combine that with our local expertise and now our local experts with the advisory board as well. And yeah, it's really a recipe that's bound for success.
Let's talk about this advisory board. When was it created? Just a few months ago.
Yeah, it's been, the genesis was maybe 2-3 months ago.
Okay. What's the thinking behind it? Who's on this board and what purpose does it serve?
So the board itself, I'll get to, but the purpose it served is I'm a huge fan of listening and listening deeply. And I think we tried this internally from our Vodacom South Africa perspective with our employees. We went on a strategy of deep listening. So we were saying, you know, we speak less than we listen. And we really got some amazing insights in this process of deep listening. And we thought, why not extend that to our mm-hmm. customers? So this is really part of the strategy around how do we, I talk a lot about customer intimacy, which is about knowing your customer beyond just what you sell to them. And this is part of that process. And the board consists of industry thought leaders, industry experts, etc., on different arenas, be it business, AI, cloud, etc. And the real idea is to pull them together and help us better serve our customers at the end of the day. So I think that as a business that is growing, and Vodacom Business has been very successful, mm-hmm. so we've grown quite you know, if you think of the beyond mobile space, we've grown more than double digits every year. And I do think that you have to guard against becoming a little bit of you know, very internally focused, thinking you know all the answers, thinking, oh, I've seen this, I know how this ends, I can give it to you. And it was really to guard against something like that, where we would be open to the outside view and we would be more open to listening and receiving feedback and insights and having very robust dialogues in some instances around what is best for a customer. And we do it from a research perspective, but we also do it from a customer-centric perspective. So we will take to this board a specific customer and we'll say, this is what we've done, this is where they're at, this is what we're thinking. Mm-hmm. And they'll kind of relay back to us that, you know, have you thought of this? Maybe your thinking is too narrow. Have you, you know, thought of the best thing? Because they know what's going out there, right? What's going on out there. So, yeah, it's really about... As everything that we do at VB, it's really about serving our customers better and having that customer intimacy.
Okay, so the board is mainly populated with customer representatives, is it?
No, it's industry experts.
Okay.
So we actually, I don't think there's anybody from a specific customer. No, it's thought leaders in the industry around topics like AI, like cloud, like business transformation.
Okay, okay. Now, technology is obviously advancing at one heck of a pace at the moment. I was actually saying to a colleague mine the other day, I think it seems like since COVID, things have actually accelerated, and particularly on the back of on the generative AI wave. There seems to be a heck of a lot happening at the moment. How have all of these developments and this pace of change influenced Vodacom Business's approach to digital transformation in its customer space, and how is it advising its clients differently now than, say, 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, there's nothing like eating your own dog food or drinking your own champagne, right?
Champagne sounds better than dog food.
So I think, we have had a journey ourselves as Vodacom South Africa and as Vodacom Business Solutions. I always say to my people, we can't, you know, go out there and pretend to help our customers transform and digitize when we haven't done it internally. So Vodacom's been on quite a journey in terms of, you know, how we do things internally. You know, we talk a lot about sustainability, for example. We've taken it upon ourselves to say, how have we worked to make our data centers more sustainable? And in doing that, we've created recipes for how we can help our customers do the same. So I think that it always starts internally, and you have to have, you know, earn your own feathers or caps, as they say, before you can go out there. So we've been on quite a journey in terms of our people, our processes, how we use technology internally. And we've been very successful at doing it. I mean, we sat back and we went, God, we have a state-of-the-art data center. We have the state-of-the-art SOC. We have all of these things that we've built through trial and error and blood, sweat, tears, etc. So now we're going out there and we're using that to help our customers actually be able to transform as well, knowing that we've been through it.
Okay. Now, I suppose this advisory board not only helps your clients, but helps Vodacom Business as well.
They do. They keep us very
on your toes.
On our toes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is great.
Yes. And there's obviously a lot going on. And in these areas that Vodacom specializes, of course, Vodacom is the biggest telecommunications operator in South Africa, and it's invested a lot in things like 5G, cloud infrastructure, IoT, and now AI. What role are those technologies playing in the B2B environment here in South Africa, and how are you advising your clients on what's coming down the line?
Yeah. So look, our advisory board does help with that. We do have our own research. Like you said, we've got Vodafone. We do a lot locally, etc. But I think for me, I always say that technology is not the end all of it all. It's about what technology enables. What does technology give impact to at the end of the day? So for me, yes, we keep very abreast because it's what we're meant to be experts in and help our customers with, whether we're talking about, AI. Just last week we were talking agentic AI has become a thing, but now we're talking about the agentic organization. You know, that's like pervasive across an organization. So I think whether you're talking about that, to whether you're talking about cloud, be it on-premise, hybrid, now we're talking about sovereign cloud from a governmental perspective. they're just tools at the end of the day that has to enable a business. And I think that's always been our purpose. Our focus has been, how do we enable a business achieve their strategic business goals? And then you bring in the technology on top of that. So, yeah, I'm not a fan of product-led organizations. And I'm quite proud of the journey we've made to move from being very product-centric, you know. Here's an IoT solution. How do we sell it to? What are we solving for as a customer? And how do we make sure that we add value? In a few lifetimes ago, I used to work for an organization that had ethnographers. And for me, this is an ethnographer.
What is that?
It's a person that really studies human behavior and how technology then either assists or does not assist in cultures and how human beings behave. So for me, this is maybe the start of a journey around that, in how we use the science of ethnography. And the advisory board is, I would almost say, instead of me hiring ethnographers, I'm using an advisory board that helps me, because they come back and say to me. So for example, we'll have one of our advisors that went and sat and observed in a hospital what happens. So especially because it was a hospital that has high volume of patients that come in. And so they sit there and they kind of go, okay, this is what's happening. And they come back and say to us, to solve for this, these are the human-centric things you have to solve for. Because a lot of the time, it's not just technology, it's process issues, it's staff issues or staff challenges. So we have to solve for everything, because the technology doesn't work if you haven't fixed everything else. So it's a holistic approach to helping customers solve what they need to solve.
It's interesting what you say about moving away from a product focus. You know, there's so much investment going on in data centers, for example, in South Africa at the moment, both local investors and international investors. And we've got the so-called hyperscalers here as well, building out infrastructure. What is Vodacom Business's approach to that space? Do you compete in building your own data center infrastructure, or do you partner with all the hyperscalers? It depends what the client wants.
It depends on what the client wants. So we have a hybrid offering that is across all the cloud platforms that are available. So we serve and support every hyperscaler that is out there. We have our own data centers, so we will sell on-net, but we will also off-net, and then we will also then go and partner with the likes of other, you know, the telcos, et cetera, to sell off-net, et cetera. So for me, it's, once again, it's about choice for the customer and what is best for them. But we have definitely this year, we have invested hundreds of millions in our own data center, because we've seen a huge increase in demand for that.
Okay. Interesting. Now, you obviously deal with a wide range of clients, from SMEs all the way up to the largest corporates across all sectors. You must see a lot of difference between sectors and even between companies in the same sector in terms of how advanced they are with some of this technology. How do you manage that? Because I imagine some companies, especially smaller companies, are, you know, they barely have time to focus on the technology stack. And I imagine even some of the larger companies are probably quite far behind with technology, where some clients are probably deploying the latest AI, generative AI models, and using agentic AI in their organizations. So it's quite a diverse mix. How is Vodacom Business, do you manage all of that and ensure you're giving the right advice to customers, depending on where they are in that journey?
Yeah, I think it also talks back to the operating model. You know, part of the work that we do with our customers from a digital transformation perspective focuses on your operating model. And we've had to do that ourselves as Vodacom. So the operating model helps us distinguish between what we call the tier of customers. So the tier one, two, three, four, whatever. And it's not just about how much of money you spend with Vodacom. It also, we put in, it's almost an algorithm that looks like how much you spend, yes, but then what is your strategic intent? And you have customers that are just, you know, early adopters of technology. And then I've got my laggards, as they call it in research speak. And you got to know your customer really well. And that's what customer intimacy is about. It's not about, you know, we've launched something new, so let's go wild and, you know, take it to all of our customers. We know exactly who we've been POCing things with, who we've been trialing with, because and they're ready. And then we know the ones that need to be like, okay, here's 10 business POCs that have worked. Now you're ready to do this. So yeah, it goes back to treating every single customer as a unique business and then solving for their needs and then having, I mean, we've got a pretty huge sales force as well as product force and all of these other things that we have in order to be able to serve our customers. Like I said, I think SME, we've intentionally created a group that has been over-resourced almost to be able to go serve those underserviced areas. But yes, we've got, you know, you'll get the company that just wants an SME that just needs a firewall for now. And we'll walk that journey with you. We'll come and we'll have that conversation, but we'll hold your hand until that digital transformation is over. Mm-hmm. And then we've got corporates, like you say, that come to us and, you know, have lakes of data and need to create revenue models out of this. And we'll do that for them as well.
Okay. Okay.
And you've got government, who has to solve for citizen, I want to say challenges, but challenges and opportunities, you know. So we've got solutions for government, for example. And for me, this is about the inclusivity part. We really want to create digital tools for SMEs, for example, because they are underserved, but also they don't have enough access to this digitization that has to happen. And when we talk to government, we talk a lot about what does inclusivity look like, and then how do you use technology to create inclusivity so everybody has a voice. So we've got platforms such as a citizen engagement solution where we're enabling government and their citizens to talk to each other and creating insights so that you can have better service delivery at the end of the day. So yeah, there's a lot going on back at the ranch.
So I guess allied to that, I must ask, what are the most common or what are some of the common obstacles that South African businesses face at the moment going through the – everyone's going through this digital transformation moves, or they should be. Are there common themes across companies and economic sectors that you're seeing?
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I still have customers that have their heads under the sand hoping this thing will go away, right? And once again, you hold their hand and you take them on the journey slowly. I think for a lot of us, what we found is, like I said, people, process, technology, and you've got to look at that separately. So a lot of what we find is a workforce that is either not prepared or resistant to technology. And, you know, if you don't solve for that up front, you end up with the tech might be the greatest thing. But it will fail.
That a cultural issue?
Yes.
How do you fix that?
So you got to inspire. There's a lot of change management. So like when we say we go back to creating a roadmap, there's a lot of change management that needs to happen at a people level where, you know, now everybody says all this fear, uncertainty, doubt, AI is going to take over all of our jobs. We're going to be jobless. I think I read an article in 2 years' time, I think 90% of us are going to have no jobs.
I'm looking forward to my future as a professional beach bum.
That's what I say. I'm like, I welcome it, right?
Let the robots do the work.
It's never going to happen.
Unfortunately.
Because there are certain things that technology cannot do, you know. So it's taking people on that journey to say, it's not going to replace you if it's an AI solution, but it's going to help you move from the skill set that you have today to a higher level skill set, which may then help you earn more money, right? And make your personal balance sheet look better. Mm-hmm. But there's definitely there's people that are like, I've done this for the last 20 years on my Excel spreadsheet. Like, you're not going to tell me how to do this better. So you got to show them, you got to walk them through the journey, show them what it means for the business as well, and for them individually as a human being. So the people stuff becomes very important. The other thing we run into a lot is processes. Mm-hmm. And you would be astonished at how many companies don't have documented processes, because some of it is about job preservation. So mm-hmm. that, you know, if everybody doesn't know what I do, then I have a job for life. and some of it is about just not documenting. And obviously that is, it's not great from a business sustainability or resilience perspective. So we do a lot of process work as well in terms of, you know, what are the top processes that need to be documented and explained. And when you show people the gains that come from this in terms of automating things, et cetera, they start to come on board. And then, of course, there's the technology side of things. And I think many companies, it's been a hard couple of years. I mean, it's been a hard since COVID, you know. People don't have the kind of money that they used to have to throw at technology. So there's a lot of work for us to do in terms of making sure we never deploy technology for the sake of technology, that there's always an impact that is measurable upfront and thereafter as well. So that's some of the things we found. I think data is a huge opportunity and challenge. Most companies don't know what they have, and if they have it, they don't know how to structure it and use it and gain insights for it. So that's been a journey.
And that's a big problem when it comes to AI, because if you don't, that data isn't structured.
It's of no use, you know, at the end of the day. So helping companies on that journey of cleaning the data and then making it usable becomes quite an opportunity for us as well. So I think those are some of the big things we have found around this transformation and how we enable companies.
Yeah. Do you think, though, that you know, as tech companies become increased, as technology becomes the sort of basis of every company, that this is just becoming a ticket to the game, and if you don't do this, you can't compete.
Yeah. You know, I always say it's the quick and the fast that not just survive, they thrive. And we've seen it.
Until everyone else catches up.
Yeah, until everyone. But you got to keep innovating. You got to keep ahead of the curve, right? And you know that this, I call it the corporate graveyard, is littered with these massive companies that we thought would be here forever.
Yes.
And they're not.
Yeah.
And then you've got these startups that come up overnight, and there's no CapEx, there's no barriers to entry. You know, it's amazing what technology has also inspired and made available. Like, you can create a website on your own. You just got to learn a few things. And tech does it for you. I actually get quite upset because I used to be a coder, you know, in my days. And I had to sit there and write code. And now they're like, this thing just...
I can ask ChatGPT to make a website for you.
You know? So technology has really made all of this possible at the end of the day. So yeah, there's it's amazing what is possible. And I think that we should never be afraid of technology, because, you know, whether you think about this move from, you know, whether it's about the steam stuff, you know, the steam evolution, the coal, and when they created cars that could run, Henry Ford was part of that evolution. There's always that sense of, oh, what is happening here, you know? And should we be at the forefront of it? Should we, like, wait and see? I think you can't wait and see anymore. So this is, and I do believe it's part of, like you say, it has to become part of the DNA of an organization, the technical digitization, or we call it the digitization of an enterprise. It has to happen, or else you will be part of that corporate graveyard.
Just lastly, what emerging technologies and trends are you seeing that you think are going to transform the enterprise market in the next couple of years? I know it's difficult to look into the future, especially in an industry that's moving this quickly. But what are some of the things that got you excited at the moment?
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, we all talk about cloud, right? Cloud and its pervasiveness is becoming something you cannot, if you're a business, you cannot ignore. And whether, like I said, whether it's on-premise, hybrid, et cetera, on-prem, it's something that you have to embrace. And as we move to this world where I think it becomes everything as a service, then you cannot be left behind, because people and entrepreneurs will be spinning up services overnight. And once that happens, there's a platform economy that happens around that. And I think a lot of companies, those are the things we are blindsided by. If you look at the East and what's happening there, and if you look at the Alibaba, the Ant platform, etc., that was set up and run, we're kind of far behind from an Africa perspective.
It's amazing what's going on in China.
Yeah. You know, from a China perspective, I was just on a trip to one of the cloud providers, and it's astonishing what they're doing. They're creating tomorrow, you know? So I think for me, the cloud is definitely something, if you're, you know, in a business, you can't ignore. Cybersecurity, massive opportunity for companies like us, mm-hmm. massive threat for many businesses that are out there. And I think it's just gotten so much more complex and complicated in terms of what's possible. I call it crime as a service. It's become very lucrative at the end of the day. And so companies have to constantly be on this journey of making sure you're closing the gaps, you know, you're secure, your security posture needs to be strong. And there's also some cool stuff coming out. I was reading up on like quantum algorithms that make you more resilient, etc. So there's a lot of work happening there. So cloud for sure, AI, I mean, this, everybody's go, so we won't talk about that. But, you know, first it was just generative. Now it's agentic and there'll be something else that happens thereafter. And I think for me, the AI journey is for companies not to get caught up in the hype. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to create those few usage models that make sense for your company and start there. Like you run a few POCs, and you also start with helping your people understand how they should embrace this thing. So I think AI is definitely going to be front and center. There's a lot happening in this, the extrasensory realm, as I call it. So this fusion of the digital world and the physical world and how it all comes together. And it's not just gaming. Mm-hmm. You know, we use it even in, if you think of the mining industry, you know, we've got to create solutions that keep our employees, the miners underground, safe.
This whole concept of digital twinning and,
exactly.
and yeah, creating replica factories and mines and all that sort of thing.
So there's a lot of that going on. But there is no end. And next year there will be something else and there will be something else. And so I always say to my customers, it's not getting caught up in the hype or the FUD, you know, the fear, uncertainty and doubt that a lot of these technologies love to spin in the market. But it's about knowing your purpose. Mm-hmm. It's about knowing where you want to be. And then we need to figure out how technology helps you get there. And there are things you might not even need. You know, we find companies that they're like, oh, my IT spend is ridiculous. And then you go through it and you're like, but you've got every single, you know, like vendor in here. You don't need everything that you have. So we help them simplify that as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's not to get too overwhelmed by the technologies and rather partner.
And make sure security is at the core of it.
Oh, the platform of it all. Mm-hmm. What did I say? I say trust is worn in drips and lost in buckets. So it's the one thing. It's like insurance. You only know how much you needed it when you don't have it, when you need it. So security and investment in cybersecurity is something that is just something you cannot ignore on every CXO's agenda.
Great conversation. Exciting times ahead.
Thank you.
Videsh Pruthviraj is CEO of Vodacom Business. Thank you so much for sharing your insights with the TechCentral community.
Thank you for having me.